Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
The fight over euthanasia has not been like the fight over abortion. Many members of the pro-life movement can recall exactly where they were and what they were doing when they heard about Roe v. Wade. In one calamitous stroke, the Supreme Court swept away the laws of all 50 states and overnight instituted the regime of abortion on demand. The tragedy was overwhelming, but for that very reason, unmistakable, and the grim event sparked the outrage of millions of Americans. Galvanized, we built a movement whose work has now brought our country to the threshold of Roe's reversal. But the progress of euthanasia has seen no such singular shattering event. Instead, the legalization and acceptance of euthanasia has proceeded slowly, step by step, in a sequence so gradual as almost to be imperceptible. However, since the inception of the pro-life movement in the late 1960s, we have been concerned that alongside the horror of abortion, we would see society slide toward acceptance of euthanasia. And as the media and others have concentrated on the abortion battle, a complacence has occurred in society, and as we look around, we see the barriers to euthanasia and assisted suicide toppling on every side. As a movement, we have been fully committed to those who cannot speak for themselves. Now, we find that because of society's slow acceptance of assisted suicide, not unlike a frog in a slowly boiling pot of water, we find ourselves threatened. Our own families' lives, our own parents and children, are now directly and imminently at risk. The point cannot be made too strongly. The trends in medical practice, in the courts and in the legislatures, are all too clear. The assumptions of 30 years ago that the presumption in all medical cases is for life has been virtually reversed in cases in which, quote, quality of life or degree of disability falls short of the medically approved or socially accepted norm. Denial of life-saving medical treatment and even food and fluids to people who have never expressed any rejection of them has become the norm. Their denial to people who say they want them is now increasingly practiced in hospitals all over America, and direct killing by lethal injection or other means, already legalized in Oregon, is debated year after year in state after state. How has it come to this? How has it seemingly slipped up on us? The advocates of euthanasia began in the 1970s by building on an almost universally accepted premise that in the absence of truly exceptional circumstances, a competent adult may accept or reject any medical treatment. Rooted in the doctrine of informed consent and long accepted by common law, this principle became the starting point for a steady progression in two directions along two axes. On one axis is the degree of voluntariness. There are three basic degrees. Euthanasia may be voluntary, meaning the patient, while competent, has requested it. There is non-voluntary, meaning the patient's wishes are unknown and the courts or a surrogate impose it, or involuntary, meaning that death is chosen for the patient against his explicit wishes. On the other axis is the method by which death comes, moving progressively from deprival of life-saving medical treatment through starvation and dehydration by removal of food and fluids, straight to direct killing. Tomorrow, we'll continue our discussion of the euthanasia movement and what we can do to protect ourselves, our loved ones, and our society from those who are seemingly obsessed with death. In the meantime, I encourage you to visit our website at prolifeperspective.com for more information about euthanasia and healthcare-related topics. You will also find out how to download and execute our pro-life living will called the Will to Live. The Will to Live works like many living wills, but differs in that it makes a presumption for life-saving medical treatment. I encourage you to download yours today. It just might save your life.
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization. For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.